From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. A few weeks ago, we talked about mental health issues in immigrant communities. I spoke to a young college student who'd been shielded from deportation through the DACA program. Listener Nuri Castillo Crawford of Gwinnett County got in touch after hearing it. Turns out she wrote a book this year about her experiences of coming to this country as a young child from Peru. It's called 3,580 Miles to Be an American Girl. These days, Nuri is director of community engagement at Gwinnett County Public Schools. And now she's changing 10-year-old Jada Sanford's life. Though Jada was born in the U.S., she's about the same age Nuri was when she arrived in this country. Nuri's book about her experience as an immigrant has shaped Jada's perspective. The two of them recently stopped by our studios and spoke with On Second Thought's Fenley Foxon.
My initial experience was literally landing in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's where the airport was. And coming into the airport and walking outside and immediately feeling like my life had just been turned upside down.
Well, I'm going to bring Jada in at this point. Why did you like this book?
I liked the book because it was talking about how people from South America came to the United States, and their lives were better here than they were in Peru. And it talks about how they came in luggage, but they had only luggage, and how when they came here, how when they went to school, they didn't know anything. They didn't know any English. They only spoke Spanish, and there were no Spanish classes to do translation, so she had to pick up English really quickly.
Now, your sister seemed to have a tough time at school, and you mentioned it very briefly in the book. Take us through what happened to her at school.
She did have an enormous transitional challenge ahead of her. I remember her crying the very first time my parents tried to put us on the bus. Because at that time, my parents did not have a car or transportation, and we lived in the country. So it wasn't like we were in the city and we could take, you know, they could get on the bus, public transportation and drop us off or anything. So they put us on the bus, and my sister held on to my mom's leg, and she was crying. My mom was crying. My uncle was trying to force her out of, get your hands off your mom and get on the bus. And the bus driver was, remarkably very patient and just waited there. And the kids were all like on the bus looking. I looked up and I see all these little, there were no brown children. So it was all these little white kids looking at me and my sister having a fit and finally getting on the bus. And of course she was assigned a seat next to mine. And right before I would board, my mom would just, squeeze my hand and tell me to be brave. And she'd say, "You don't get to cry. You don't cry," because I think she could see in my face that I was about to lose it. So she would be like, "You don't get to cry. You need to be brave and get on the bus, take care of your sister." And then we'd get to school. Sometimes it would be a huge ordeal to try to get my sister away from me at school so it wouldn't end, at the bus stop. And then the principal would try to get her off first and then me, and then they would shoo me away, like, go to the, go to another way inside the building so they could immediately separate us. And when they did that, which was most of the time, she would immediately within the first hour or two, be lost within the school. The principal would come around. I could see her walking around and looking inside the window and kind of like signaling to me with her finger to come so that she...
Well, she didn't speak English, so she didn't know where she was supposed to
go. No, she didn't speak English and nobody spoke Spanish. ESOL was not in place. I mean, by law, now that I'm an adult and I looked it up, of course, I see that the federal government had passed it. But when anything happens on the federal level, it takes time to disseminate and to implement at local school levels. So obviously, it wasn't a priority or a need, not being mean, I'm sure, or anything. It's just like there's only two girls that don't speak English in our district, and we're not going to sit here and spend money trying to implement a program for two girls.
Yeah. At what point did you feel like you fitted in?
they put me in a teacher's class. And one day she probably felt bad for me because I remember literally sitting there with the math book and really any book in any class, just sitting there and kids turning pages, the teacher's talking. I don't even know what they're saying. And I start looking around and seeing, oh, okay, they're on page, 84 or whatever. And then I would turn to that page. And so I remember, I think she just probably felt bad for me. And that one day she came in and we started class and she divided the class into three groups. And I went where I was supposed to go because I saw the kids going. And then kids would come up one by one and do like a race, three kids on the board. She'd call out a math problem and the kids would race to see who would complete it first. Mm-hmm. And I went up and in my head, I'm like, I don't even know why I'm up here. You know, like I'm looking around like, oh, it's going to go like every other time. They're going to say some things and I'm going to stand here looking dumb and then I'm going to go back to my seat. But that day she surprised me. She said the problem all in English. So the other two kids literally got started and I'm going through my thought process. And then all of a sudden with her, you know, accent and everything, but I was still so happy to hear it, she started saying the problem in Spanish. And I like did a double take, like, I'm like, what is she saying that in Spanish? And I see this, you know, little tattered Spanish English dictionary. And she looked up and smiled at me. And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm about to kill this problem because I know what to do. And so I think the other kids were shocked to hear her speaking in Spanish. And they were like looking. So they stopped working on the problem. And so I went to town and I finished it and everybody started clapping. And that moment was wonderful and it's impactful, but it was like one tiny slither of a slice of the pie of my whole journey that first year with so many things and so many responsibilities. But so I don't remember her name, but that moment did make me feel like I could believe in myself again. And as an educator, I've tried to provide those moments with kids daily.
Jaden, do you have students in your class right now that you can think of that don't speak English?
Yes.
Oh, you do. How do you relate to them? How do you speak to them?
Well, I'm trying to learn Spanish. I am.
Mm-hmm.
And to translate to them, sometimes I'll have like, it's kind of difficult. Like sometimes I'll have, sometimes I'll look at some things and it'll tell me like, it'll translate the word in English,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it can translate the word in Spanish too. So I sometimes will say the Spanish word to them.
So Nuri, in your book, you say your mom looks sad. And there's a picture of her sitting by the window with her head down.
She didn't have anybody to talk to and she was very alone and lonely. And of course, as an adult, I'm sure she knew the reality of where we were. Like literally we are here. We don't have any money. We don't speak the language. So I'm sure that was very hard for her to know that she's got three little kids that she and my dad were responsible for and would try not to show us that we were in a serious situation. But I could tell in her face that she was sad, you know, and so it made me feel like I had to do better so that she wouldn't, like I would be one reason she wouldn't have to be sad about or be upset about or worried about.
And Jada, one last question to you. What is your favorite picture in this book and why?
My favorite picture would have to be the ending picture of when she is, when at the end of the book, when she's standing in the grass and the sunlight's beaming on her face, because it looks like she finally found a place that she is going to fulfill her dreams and that she is going to be happier and more successful.
Nuri and Jada, thank you so much for your time. That was awesome.
Thank you.
That's On Second Thought producer Fenley Foxen speaking with author Nuri Castillo Crawford. Nuri is author of the book 3,585 Miles to Be an American Girl. She now works at Gwinnett County Public Schools. We also heard from her mentee, Jada Sanford.